The US is on its Thanksgiving holiday, and over in Europe, while stocks are trading in positive territory, they're not making any big moves. Concern around growing coronavirus cases and the eventual impact on the economy continue to weigh on sentiment. This could be part of the reason why gold has paused its free fall. It's resisting falling below the $1,800 an ounce level for now, at least. The local all-share index ended the day up 0.27%, closing at 57,896 index points, with gold counters experiencing another day of gains. They were up 2.4% at the close. Meanwhile, Brent crude oil remains steady around the $48 a barrel mark. The local currency has lost some ground against major currencies. It's trading around 15.22 against the US dollar, 18.13 vis-a-vis the euro, and 20.30 against the British pound. Well, to take us through the markets, I'm joined on the line by David Shapiro. He's deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much, David, for joining us again. Now, on a day like this, when the US markets are closed for Thanksgiving, I suppose there's not much movement on the markets. But despite their being out, what do you see as the current drivers?
Well, it wasn't too bad. You know, value traded was around about $14.5 billion, which we've seen on days even when the United States is open. But somehow it just lacks the kind of interest when the US is closed, because I think generally we take a trend from the US. So there wasn't much to go by, but we did have some results out. You know, if you look at the US, if you look at our market, what impressed me was a number of laggards on the market that had big gains: Nampak, Hulamin, Invicta, CAP, ArcelorMittal. Yes, admittedly, these are shares that have been hurt quite dramatically or bruised over the year because of economic conditions rather than the pandemic. Had a big day today. I see Nampak came out of the trading statement a few minutes ago, literally 10 minutes ago, and I haven't had a chance to go through it. I'm not sure whether it's going to rattle the 14.5% gain that we've seen today. But, I mean, if you look at the pure numbers, they weren't good. And, you know, another litany of excuses of why, of difficult trading conditions. So, but that seemed to dominate the market. I think on our market as well, it was gold and platinum shares. When I say gold, it was really DRD, but mainly platinum shares and iron ore shares, African Rainbow Minerals and Kumba, that actually dominated the gains, really amongst the top shares. On the downside, it was very mixed. But overall, not a bad day considering.
Yeah, I'm just having a look at that trading statement that you referred to, the Nampak one. They're warning the market that they're going to be experiencing impairments to the value of around 4 billion rand. That consists mainly of impairments of 2.2 billion rand relating to the Bevcan Nigeria goodwill, and 1.2 billion to an asset impairment in Angola. So fairly big numbers there, and they do go on and on. But yeah, it's not good news that they're telling the market, basically.
I think we see generally a lot of companies are going to come out of this pandemic having to reevaluate their assets and the values that they stand in their books, simply because of what a horrid year it is.
Yeah, no.
And it has been, and it's whether we're going to recover it or not. So, yeah, it's going to be something characteristic of a lot of results that we get.
Of course, Mr. Price, they came out with their half-year results. That's for the 6 months to September, indicating that profit declined by 24%. But they also announced that they've bought a Durban-based family business, Power Fashions, and they say that it's going to fit hand in glove with their business. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's a business that has been established for a long time with a very strong record. They didn't mention the price, or I didn't pick it up in reading. But, you know, I don't know Power. And the reason is I went onto a map and said, well, where are these 170 branches? Well, they're not in Sandton City, or they're not around us. So you can understand. It's generally in Germiston or Orange Farm, Cutlachong, Benoni, and so on, Davidson. Yeah. So it focuses on a certain segment of the market, but obviously it knows its market very well, and that's who it is.
Yeah,
it looks a very solid business. You know, it knows its market. That's it. It's not high fashion, but it's fashion.
Yeah, and I guess they're looking to compete with the likes of Pep.
I agree. I think that's why. In fact, if you look through something as well, I was looking at, you know, they're going into baby, they're going into school, novelty and gifting, and you know, if you look at school, I mean, that's been Pep's domain. You know, the little grey shorts with white shirts and those nice black shoes. And baby is also a very, very big market, you know, that you can't discount.
Yes.
So I think they are trying maybe to take on some of the competitors at the low end of the market.
Mm. I see that the shareholders at Woolies are not very happy because the board wants to give Ian Moore, the outgoing CEO, 77 million rand. And we know that for the past 5 years or so, Woolies really hasn't done so well.
No. Well,
and there's this issue, you know, you must reward people for performance.
No. I know the shareholders are becoming a little active on remuneration. They stopped the Sasol payments as well, and I suppose they're feeling very angry. I mean, it's quite a hefty package. I don't know what the negotiations are and what was in the contract. Sometimes there's actually a contractual obligation to pay them regardless. But you can see the anger of people, and I mean, it's been a tragic few years under his leadership. So
yeah.
You can appreciate why they feel that way.
Yeah, and just in terms of context, you know, what with COVID-19 and the kind of year that we've had, you know, it's almost like insult to injury that someone can take away 77 million rand. But like you say, if there's a contract in place, what can you do?
Mm.
First Rand, they came out with a trading statement warning the market that their headline earnings per share are likely to decline by a quarter, 25%. That's for the 6 months ended December. But we know that the banks have had it hard this year, you know, what with having to extend to their clients and having to make really huge provisions for possible bad debt.
Yeah, but I think as with Mr. Price, you know, in the First Rand statement, I think what you do pick up is that the last few months have been better than they were anticipated or expected.
Mm.
So conditions are improving relative to the kind of provisions they've made. What they did say, what captured my eye, was the residential market, mortgages and vehicle finance almost back to pre-pandemic levels and, you know, collections better. But they do warn, I think, that no one knows what the long-term damage is going to be, you know, to businesses. So I think everyone, although we've seen over the last few months improved conditions, no one's quite sure what the long-term damage, you know, of this pandemic and the lockdown's going to be. So I think even they're cautious. But, I mean, if you read it, it's not a bad number, or certainly better than the market was anticipating. There wasn't much reaction on the market. I think banks have been difficult to read in the last few days. They've been all over the place.
Yeah.
But I think it's pointing in the right direction. It's certainly pointing in a better direction than the market thought.
Pre-COVID, obviously the banks were very good dividend payers, and many of them have, if not all of them, have opted not to give a dividend, and they're able to hang on to the fact that the Reserve Bank advised them that it's best for them not to in the meantime, as they preserve capital. But given the fact that you do say that, you know, there's so much uncertainty going into 2021, do you therefore think that they're going to be holding off paying dividends for quite some time to come, especially if their provisions are realized?
I think they'll pay. I think they've got enough cash. I think as conditions improve, well, I think it's going to be more structural rather than economic. In other words, how can I explain it? We're going to continue e-commerce. If you've been buying, you know, for example, you're going to rather use, you've been forced to use apps on your phone, even to do banking. You're going to continue to do that. So how do they position for that? We saw in Mr. Price's results the incredible gains in e-commerce. And they have been ahead of the market in e-commerce. They've always been well supporters in e-commerce. They were one of the leaders here as well. But, I mean, when you see the increase in e-commerce, you'll understand this is not going to go backwards. So now the other point that they brought out, which was interesting, was that people are returning to the shops, but in the regional centres, not in the main centres. So in the large shopping centres, they're not coming back, preferring to go to the regional centres. So you might have to ask, you know, is this something we're going to see permanently or not? That's the kind of restructure that I think we're going to see. I think patterns might change. So I think this is what we're warning against, perhaps not a pure economics, but how do you position your business for change in taste and change in pattern.
Yeah. Even before COVID happened, of course, we know that there were a lot of layoffs within the financial sector as they anticipated a more 4IR type of future and people doing more digital banking and so on and so forth. Do you anticipate that there's going to be more rationalization within the banking sector then?
That's our biggest fear. I think the biggest here, country-wise, is that a lot of jobs that have been lost are not going to be, you know, we're not going to reintroduce them or reestablish them. So I think that's a big issue. And certainly with banks now, because a lot of businesses have been laying off people, and it's unlikely that they're going to reemploy them. So I think it's a big fear. Now, when you start to look at that, that was a warning by PEP. You know, PEP pointed out that a lot of the packages that were given by government,
they're going to run out.
And so they're going to run out, and they're not going to do that. And that's where a lot of their income came from. So, you know, that's why I think a lot of companies are cautious. But my own feeling is that banks will start. We will start to see a resumption of dividends, which we've already seen with some of the operating companies. I think even, you know, even Mr. Price, you know, have resumed it at their old payout ratio. Admittedly, the results are lower, but they're still paying the equivalent dividend.
Hmm. David, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. That was David Shapiro. He's Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities.